All right, so welcome to Workshop 8, Digital Audio, Not Just Techno. We have some special hello to everyone out there watching this workshop. We're excited to have you here. So you might ask, what is this workshop all about? Hopefully we'll be able to look at the origins of digital audio and have some fun manipulating sound using our computers. We'll be reviewing some common audio formats, some players that you might use, typically use software, that sort of thing. And hopefully by the end of today, you'll be able to work on a project and ideally take home a CD with you. Just so you know what's going on this other screen here, it's just a little toy that I have called Groove Maker. It was made by a company called Cakewalk. It's no longer really in existence, but it's just a fun little toy that lets you DJ, make your own electronic songs on the fly. However, as I did say, today is not just about techno, so I'll just leave that up there for eye candy and move on to the meatier things. So I'm going to assume that everyone here has not really ever touched digital audio before. Me personally, I'm coming from more of a music student slash composer standpoint as opposed to an audio engineering standpoint. As you can imagine, audio and sound and music covers a lot of different areas. Some main things to just know is that a lot of what goes on in digital audio kind of has influence from electronic music, because prior to the use of computers and the use of electricity, everything was acoustic. Sort of the two big inventions to keep in mind are the theremin and the Moog synthesizer. The theremin is that high-pitched, eerie, sounding instrument you might have heard in a lot of movies. It's just an oscillator, has that little pole on one end, a little wire loop on the other. Depending on how you move your hands, you know, you get different sounds. Famous example is in Beach Boys' Good Vibrations. And then the Moog synthesizer was one of the, I don't want to say it's not really the first synthesizer so much as like what would be known as like the first commonly known synthesizer. And synthesizers are important because they synthesize sound or make sounds from non-acoustic instrument, basically so that you could use electronics and use signals to make sound waves that sort of emulate other sounds that we already know, or to create new sounds that we can't produce with an acoustic instrument. As for digital recording itself, that kind of started later on in time. So things like the theremin and the synthesizers, experiments with computers and generating sounds, that all started in the first half of the 20th century. But in terms of people recording onto digital media, you didn't start getting that until the second half of the 20th century, and I believe the pioneers in that were Japan and the UK. Not particularly surprising, but it wasn't really until the 70s and the 80s that the record labels started really getting that in there. And you might kind of ask, well, what is digital recording versus regular recording? Because it's all still tape, right? My personal experience is that everyone remembers cassette tapes. Well, some of the first digital recording I remember, well, there's DAT tapes. That's still a tape format, but you could use that with different studio equipment and computers. Basically, you know, record from your, edit inside your computer, record and export out to the tapes, or input from the tapes. That sort of thing. I mean, now everyone's just going straight from hard drive, straight out. Sort of the catch, though, is that no matter how you start, no matter how you end, it's always going to end up acoustic. because what we hear is basically sound waves. And so digital is sort of in the middle of things. I mean, you can generate things digitally or electronically, but ultimately everything comes back out non-digitally. So just to wrap that up in terms of the history, electronic music and digital audio come together through all the sort of different things you can do with digital audio, which are recording, mixing, sequencing, signal processing, editing, Lautgemut. But that doesn't mean that you have to be working in electronic music to be doing digital audio work. Unfortunately, even those folk singers, when they're recording their albums, usually the computer's getting involved in some way or another. So the only other thing is that now the way that people are pushing the envelope is sort of making music interactive. And music has always been an interactive art form, but getting computers into the mix kind of changes everything a little bit in terms of what you can do, how many levels of interaction you can have, and the way the ways people interact. So then, getting even more to the root of things, what makes audio digital as opposed to analog or acoustic or whatever? Basically, sound is waveforms. Little just up and down oscillations, and basically when you digitize a sound, it becomes electrical signals, these pulses. For anyone who is here for the wireless LAN sections, Ray had mentioned talking about pulses, the bits, ones and zeros going up on and off. That's what you're basically translating these sound waves into. So then the only downside to translating these things into pulses is that the spectrum that you can work with is narrowed. Basically, when you're working in most digital audio interfaces, you're going to be limited to working from 20 hertz to 20 kilohertz, which is pretty good enough. I mean, that's what the human ear can handle. So unless you're making music for dogs or dolphins, you probably only do need those frequencies. Just for reference, we talk about the frequencies as hertz and kilohertz here. However, we will also be talking about sample rates, and we'll be using the same terms. Don't mix the two up. I won't go into the technical details of things, but just know, not necessarily the same. So then you might ask, well, why would you want to use a computer? Easiest thing, just recording your sound and storing it. I mean, maybe people remember little voice recorders or cassette tapes or even the old vinyl records. You know, that's bulky media. And once you print it or record it, that's it. Done. Well, cassette tapes you could rewind and re-record over, but nonetheless, you know, it's like physical medium. When you have a computer, well, you put it on your hard drive, send out the file over to your friend in Timbuktu, change it, rework it, get it back. So recording into your computer makes the next few steps a lot easier. Mixing. Mixing is probably what I imagine a lot of people have fun doing. Mixing and sequencing, and maybe editing. Mixing, simply put, is when you have different audio tracks and you layer them in different ways and then you combine it into one track. This is particularly good for when you're creating a song. You might have a guitar, you might have a drum kit, and you might have a kazoo player. And while it's nice for working purposes to keep them separate, when you want to burn to a CD and send off to friends or something, you ultimately need it in one track or one file. Sequencing is when you're synthesizing or creating your own sounds for use. You may usually refer specifically to MIDI, musical instrument digital interface. It's that You may have seen the cables. It's that strange big round port with all the pins in it. Might have heard of a lot of it in the 80s, when everyone suddenly decided, oh wow, we can start using like electronics in our music, using MIDI and import, the sounds into these computers through these ports. It's really nice when you're trying to create a song, but you just don't have all the instruments, or you don't have a lot of space, because MIDI will take up less space than a audio file that's been recorded. And there's some instruments that work better as MIDI. For example, piano sounds are really easy to reproduce using MIDI. You can get pretty decent strings. What tend to sound a little funny are horns, for some reason. Things like horns. Drums are very easy, although ultimately with all MIDI, you end up having to go back and retweak them to make them sound a little more like acoustic or audio instruments. But they're kind of important in terms of video games too. So just a little bit of trivia. Editing is sort of a very practical thing to do. It's the actual, here I've laid it out as the changing when an audio file or sound starts, stops, how long it is. Really, most of the time, though, processing and converting end up getting done at the same time that editing happens. And that's when you change how loud or how soft your file is, if you're going to fade in, fade out, if you're going to warp it somehow, make it sound like it's an echo, or make it sound like you're in a totally echoless room. And then you typically end up, after you're all done with that, converting the file into something usable, because normally I personally edit in, say, a WAV format, but if I wanted to share something, I would probably want to convert it down into an MP3 format, just because it's smaller than a WAV format. Or if someone gave me something in an MP3 format, but I need to burn it to a CD, and I have to convert it so that it's a track that's playable on a CD player. So then, speaking of formats, we have audio file formats and quality. So on Wednesday, we had been talking about compression and lossless and lossy in regards to graphics. Well, same thing happens with audio, because basically compression and loss or retention of data happens all over the place. Specifically here, you have three main forms of compression, or non-compression, so to speak. Pulse code modulation. That is the form in which you probably want to do all your editing and processing and convert, and, well, no, not conversion necessarily, but editing and processing, manipulation, and ultimately when you burn a CD, those formats are probably what you'll be saving as. So WAV for Windows, AIFF for Macs. And then the next level down are lossless formats. And here we have TrueAudio and free lossless audio codec. And that's pretty, I mainly personally use that for using digital video. Just when you need to be able to maintain clarity. And then there's lossy, which is a lot more popular, mainly the famous MP3 for trading files. WMA and other codecs, I would say you might use them on your players. They're just different ways of compressing your file format sizes so that, maybe you need more, have like squeeze 1,000 songs onto a space that's really only can handle 500 songs. Well, playing around with the file format will help you out there. You can also manipulate all these other characteristics to play with that, but in general, those are the sort of main players in the formats for audio. In terms of quality, The two that you probably see the most are 44,100 and 9,600 hertz, also known as 44.1 kilohertz and 96 kilohertz. And that's just because, you know, that 44.1 is for the audio CDs and 96 kilohertz are for DVD audio. Piece of trivia, videos of the week are formatted using 32 kilohertz for the audio. And then there's just a whole other range of spectrum. And just in case you're ever wondering why in the world you couldn't understand anyone over the telephone, well, just so you know, that has the lowest sample rate, hence the least quality out of all the different sample rates available.
Possible to make your phone have better?
I think that's more, that's, I'm guessing that's a partial combination of the quality of your data connection, plus the hardware you have, and especially with cell phones, really, literally the connection. But I'm guessing Skype might be the easiest way to possibly up your quality a little bit, although I don't know, heard it can be pretty staticky too. Do you have a question? Right. So, but yeah, just in case you were wondering, telephone and radio are at the bottom of the list. Unfortunately, I can't say I've heard much of a difference between a regular CD and a SA CD. But supposedly it's there. Supposedly. So apart from that, we have bit rates. And I wish I could explain in great technical and mathematical detail sort of the main differences between, really the big difference between bit rate and sample rate, because it's so easy to just confuse them. Just sort of take literally the definitions on the notes. That sample rate are how many samples of the sound are taken per second. So every second when you're sampling, so sampling is to sort of just take a grab a chunk, literally a sample of the sound. Per second, that is what is going on. In terms of bit rate, that's how much, so if you're say using a seconds as your per unit of time, whatever device you have, that's how much it's storing, how much data, so to speak, is being stored. So in class, David was talking about the online radios, and how you had a choice of 32 kilobits per second or 96 kilobits per second or 128 up to 192 kilobits per second, and how there was an audible difference in between when the radio station was going at 128 to 192 kilobits per second, and how crackly and staticky it sounded at 32 kilobits per second. You know, you have a loss of information when you have lower kilobits per second as opposed to when you have higher kilobits per second. And then decibels, in layman's terms, it's the volume. Now, officially, technically, it's not just the volume, but it's the easiest way to perceive it, in my opinion, because when you play around with the decibels on a sound wave, you know, increasing or decreasing it is what makes it sound quieter or louder. Unfortunately, though, decibel is not restricted to audio alone. It's a term that's used in different areas of physics and science as well, so that's why you don't want to think of it as just decibel. All right, so that's all the technical details out of the way. We're going to go have fun now. So, I'm going to quit out of this program. And what I'd like everyone to do is open up your browsers. Still processing. Oh dear, oh dear. Let's see if we can find you another computer. Oh dear. Let me see if I can log you onto this back computer here. Sorry to move you around like that.
Thought it would eventually come up.
Oh, at least it's Saturday. Oh goodness, that's true. Okay, my apologies. My particular laptop is not online, so I'll have to use our lovely resident computer. And I would like you to see. I'm going to need to have everyone download a program called Audacity. For everyone out there, it's audacity.sourceforge.net. I am not promoting or endorsing a particular program over another. It just happens this one is free. So for any novices that might just want to have some fun playing around with audio editing, this is a good program to start with. So just pick a download from any of the different sites. Let's go with Brazil today. It's gonna take some time. It's rather nice because it's a small file. Save to disk. And when that's all done, just double click and run the setup. And while that's going,
Which version? Beta or?
I would suggest going with the stable, just for today. When you go home, I freely welcome you to choose whatever you like.
Why does it give us all these locations?
Those are different hosts for the program, so that because if the software was hosted on just one machine, and say maybe 500 people all at once wanted to use it, there'd have to be a lot of robustness going on. All right. Unfortunately, you are limited to my selection of music today. But please pick a CD from which to play with. Usually it does. Is it not working on here either? This is not a good sign today. I wonder if it's just going crazy because... Oh, there we go. Awesome. And unfortunately, I don't have any CDs in here, but hopefully they'll be so kind as to pass it on to you. So we need Audacity and... All right, this is good. All right, so while that's installing, another program we're going to be using today, it's up to you, you have your choice, of using RealPlayer or Windows Media Player, or for anyone else out there, if you're a Mac user or you just like it, iTunes works for this other component. Just to summarize, what we're going to be doing is we're going to rip a track off of a CD, and then using Audacity, we're going to play with that audio track and allow you to edit it however you feel. And then once that's done, we're going to mix it back down and then export it and save and burn it to a CD. One thing we were going to do today was record a sound. Unfortunately, on these particular computers, I don't believe there are microphones. However, I can still show you how to record a sound, because who knows, you may want to do a voiceover and layer your voice over a track or something. So, how's the downloading process going? The download and install? Everyone?
Download,
have you installed it yet?
Yeah.
All right. So I make sure we got everyone on the same page. I'm just gonna... go ahead. Once you've picked your CD, go ahead. I'm going to... For now, just do open as Windows files. Actually, you can say ignore. Let's see, I'm going to open up iTunes. So I'm just trying to open up some multiple programs here so that you can see the different options you have in terms of ripping a CD, so to speak. So the three programs that I mentioned, Windows Media Player, Real Player, and iTunes, I just mentioned because they're free. So they're likely to be on your computer depending on your platform of choice. We like to make things easy for everyone in E1. Yes. All right. Oh dear. Oh my. Would you mind sitting with? Would that be all right with you? I'm just not sure why it's fritzing out today. All right, we might have to have everyone up their volume on their computers just for today. Otherwise, it's very hard to hear what's going on. So if you're in Windows Media Player, they make it very easy for you right from the beginning. If you look on the screen, there's a rip button.
I seem to be behind.
All right. Just hit cancel for now.
Okay.
And why don't you go to start? And we'll have you use Windows Media Player today. So go to Programs and go to Accessories and go to Entertainment and just go to Windows Media Player. And just hit Next, Next, Finish. And we should be fine. So there's your rip. Alright, so in my particular case, I do not have a CD in any of these computers going on, but with Windows Media Player, there should be a rip tab. And basically, you have a whole series of check marks. Deselect all of the ones except for the one track that you might want to work with. And today, it really doesn't matter because you'll be changing it and manipulating it in many different ways. Let's see if I can just get these to be compatible. All right. Real Player has frozen on me, so we'll switch over to iTunes. All right. So for iTunes, oh my goodness, it's always easier when there is a CD in here. You'd go to File, Import. And actually, no, I'm sorry. Scratch that. Let me just grab a CD. Again, it's always easier when there's a CD. So here's what I was trying to show in iTunes. Just like in Windows Media Player, you get the track listings. You select however many tracks you want to import for that time. I'm only going to import one track for today. You go to the upper right-hand corner, you hit Import CD. Starts importing a track to your library. Only tricky thing about all these things is you have to be able to later locate your file. In a Windows Media Player, it'll tell you where it's going in the lower left-hand corner, right here. In iTunes, it defaults to My Library under iTunes. You can always go back and change where you want things to be. Let's see, preferences. There we go. So in iTunes, it's under preferences and advanced. In Windows Media Player, so slick. Yes, full screen mode is much better. But for some reason on this computer, there we go. Let's see. Okay, looks like I'll have to open up Windows Media Player elsewhere. So this is an older version of Windows Media Player, not as pretty. But the useful thing here is Tools, Options, Media Library. No, wrong area. There we go, Copy Music. Copy Music will let you decide where you want your files to ultimately end up. So two areas that are important to know. While we're at it, might as well pull up Real Player. And again, you might ask, well, why would you use one over the other? Quite frankly, it's a personal preference on your part. So these are just three of the players that will do this for you quite nicely. It wasn't always so easy in the past. So does everyone have Audacity installed by now? All right. Now, unless you have had your settings set otherwise, your track should have exported as a wave. However, okay. If you are working from Windows Media Player, you will default to Windows Media Audio, which means that you may need to convert your file format. And that's hence one reason why to choose one player over another. With Real Player, you go to Tools, Preferences. This is where your file locations are, and the media types that you can play. Oh my goodness, no, it will ask later when you are asking to burn or transfer. In any case, if you are in Audacity, please go to File, Open. And go track down your file that you have just ripped off your CD. All right.
I mean, the folder said my documents, but
did you install it?
I think I did. I clicked on install yet.
And it ran through the whole thing?
Well, I didn't see,
a box. All right, so the question is what to do when you've installed something and you can't find it.
Mm-hmm.
Always nice thing to do is just run a search. So type in Audacity. There's the installer. I'm not sure that it necessarily installed. So let's hit that again. Did you get all this?
No.
Okay, so this is the actual installer.
No, I just said I wanted to save it and then.
Right, unfortunately.
Something that said finish.
Right, unfortunately, saving and finishing does not. Install it for you, which would have been very convenient. Sure, it's a temporary thing. Okay, so this is Audacity for you.
Okay, while you're here,
mm-hmm.
I didn't, the Windows Media Player,
mm-hmm.
Where do you find tools?
Okay, they hit that maximize window.
Oh, okay.
It's hidden.
Okay, wait, so. When I went to go import it, it's
mm-hmm.
Audacity. It says it can't support.
Right. Okay. So this is what I just remembered was the tricky part about Windows Media Player. Like all many other Microsoft Windows Microsoft software, it likes to save to a format that Microsoft has created. So Windows Media WMVs, for example, are an example of that. If you can find it. I would suggest opening RealPlayer then and trying to rip the track off that way. So my apologies to everybody who just went through Windows Media Player with great optimism, hoping to get their track off their CD. For this project, particular project, it seems that we'll have to use iTunes or RealPlayer. Just in terms of the commonly available free players. So, just see if I can get everything to. Stop dying. I hear some good noises being made. I take it there's been some success. Just to check over there. Alright. Yes, the only catch to RealPlayer. Just hit basic setup. Actually, you might want to just run Real1Player. So, yes, there are two different things, Real1Player versus RealPlayer. To start. Programs, accessories, entertainment, Real1Player. You have to forgive me, it's been, I don't.
So I get rid of this, right?
Yes, I'm not a frequent user of either player, so. Hit view. Burn transfer. So if you go to view and then you go to burn slash transfer. Dying out. Oh dear. Let's go back. Technical difficulties, everyone.
Mine seems to have disappeared.
Right. Oh dear.
Okay. You have to close Windows Media Player in order for Real Player to work.
I'm not
Real
really
Player
sure.
Disappeared. Just do that and see.
I think this might be an interesting aspect of the computers we're working with. let's say try one more time. Because the other option we have is to download and install iTunes if everyone has the patience for it.
Well, I'd like that. I have iTunes at home.
All right, so actually, it looks like it might be on here. So let's run a search from start for
iTunes.
I have iTunes.
That's how I played this one.
All right. So let's run a search and find iTunes on these lovely Harvard computers. All right, so iTunes is under Internet Software from the Start menu. Oh dear, do not want to install there. Actually, yes. iTunes, we are saved. So start menu, internet software, iTunes, configures, so on and so forth. Thank you to everyone bearing with us.
Well, I ended up at the iTunes store. I think that's okay.
That's just sort of what it just pops open to. Yes, I agree. Next. All right, so to switch out of it, let's see, oh, again, I need the CD. So in the iTunes, if you do happen to have a CD popped in, and under source, you should be able to click on audio CD, and then have that option of the tracks, the import CD. iTunes on both screens.
Where did you see source?
Source is right here on the left side of the... It doesn't... It's just on my particular version of iTunes, it happens to say source.
Okay.
Yeah, because we have a newer version.
Yeah, which doesn't... Something else good.
Yes. On another version, it will not say source.
So then we can click on our... Oh.
Now, just a quick note before you all start importing your tracks. Please go to Edit and Preferences so that we don't have the same problems again. Edit, Preferences, hit the Advanced tab, go to Importing, and for this purpose, because we're on Windows machines, Wave Encoder. So import using Wave Encoder. Hit OK, and now you do your importing, exporting, so forth. Let's see. Okay, we have the lovely situation that we are not authorized.
I'm
There we go. Should do that.
Cool. How'd you...
All right, so just hit the little checkbox, and then in this newer version of iTunes, the Import CD button is in the lower right-hand corner. All right, so you'll most likely find it under My Documents, My Music, iTunes, album name, and then you'll find your file. Buried very deeply. All right, so assuming we all have our tracks now, and assuming that we have Audacity open, we can go to File, Open, and it'd be under My Documents, My Music, iTunes, iTunes Music. Just going down through the layers. So let's see, just for all of you over there, I'm going to be switching screens in case you look up and get disoriented. Alright. Actually, here, just skips. Here, go to my file. Open. I would say close the real player. Actually, allow me to look.
Oh. Yes, it's a lovely,
I think it's because it's still playing the CD.
Well, how about, can I just...
Sorry. Didn't mean to bump you around.
That's
Oh, looks like we may have only one operational computer.
Well, that's really terrible.
Yeah, that's really...
But it was working... A few minutes ago.
There you go.
I just simply couldn't. There's no My Documents folder that I could see. Which is where it's supposed to land it, right?
Right. Just wondering why this particular computer is freezing so badly. Do you need to switch tapes? Probably. We're just having some problems, a lot of problems with computers today. Alright.
Or stop it and do the 10 minutes when we start again.
I'll leave it up to him.
It's up to you what you
mean. We're just going to be spending the next few minutes trying to fix this computer, so...
Okay. Well, I'll swap tapes.
Nice thing about Audacity is that it kind of just does a lot of these one-click processes that otherwise require a lot of different tools. So the easiest one I can think of is fading in and fading out. And to do that, select a certain portion of your sound wave just by click and highlighting, and then go up to Effect. And in this case, hit fade in. And you'll notice what it does to the sound wave. It shrunk it down at one end, then slowly opens it up to the rest of the track. This particular track, you can already see that they did a very nice fade out at the end. But maybe you just want to be a little strange and fade out in the middle. So again, you would highlight, and then you'd go up to effect, you go to fade out, and boom, it would generate that for you.
Wait, I can't click mine, like it's all white.
All right, let's see here. All right, there you go. Is this an MP3?
It's a wave.
Okay, should be working here.
So, oh, mine must be an MP3 because it doesn't look like it is.
Oh no, it's just it's a different song. The sound files will look different because they're in a different song.
But his has two.
Two tracks.
Yeah, well, two tracks, and mine is just one. Does that matter?
Nope. You've got two tracks. In case you are wondering, though, if you see only one track, you're probably working in mono. Whereas if you have two tracks, you're probably working in left and right stereo.
Okay.
And you can see that right in the corner of the upper right-hand corner of your file name. It would say stereo. Let's try closing out of this. There we go.
Okay.
All right. Another technical difficulty stomped on and eliminated. Excellent. All right. So, because it seems that people have brought their nifty headphones, other useful things to look at. If you highlight and select a certain chunk, you can go to edit and you can cut, you can copy, delete, you can silence it, basically cut it out entirely, but without actually cutting out that particular part of the sound wave. I'd like to see everyone at least cut out some part of the sound wave and then create, and then make a new track. So you go to project, and then you go to new audio track. And this one is in mono, so let's go back and let's make a new stereo track, just to keep consistent. And then go up to edit and paste in the chunk that you've cut out. And then using the, let's see, selection tool, using, it's a little tricky because when it's a cursor, it's just a highlighting tool. But if you move it to the side, it becomes the move tool. Click. And actually, hold on, looks like we have to select it, and then... Okay, here we go. Click, highlight, hit the time shift tool, then move the chunk of audio around anywhere you like, and maybe you might want to paste it again. And then you have it running around together. You click and you highlight the area that you want, and then you hit this double-headed arrow time shift tool, and then you move it around on your screen.
How did you hit the double-headed arrow?
It's right up here in the upper
right-hand
corner.
Okay. Thanks.
Oh, you're welcome. All right, so that again, cut and paste, you're in selection mode. You click and highlight, and you go up to edit, and you can cut right there. And then to paste, you go up to project, make a new stereo track, find the place that you'd like, and hit paste. Let's see. Now, if we all had microphones built in, we could go to the Start menu and go into Accessories and go into Entertainment and go to the Sound Recorder. This is a program that just comes free with your copy of Windows. And if you have a microphone, you just hit the record button, say what you want to say or record whatever you want to do. You hit stop. You save as a WAV file wherever you'd like to. I'm going to just save this under my documents, under my music for now. Call this a test. And if you notice, you can change your format. How nice of them. Unfortunately, you're still only gonna get telephone quality or radio quality audio at best, but it's free for, which is good for now. And then you just go and select where you'd like to insert this in your project in Audacity. And you can, let's see, import audio under project and hit test, open, and they placed it down here. It's very, very tiny compared to the rest of this project. So here it runs around. Other things that are just very basic. If you notice with this particular audio file, it's threatening to it just gets clipped off the edges. So let's just make that sound a little quieter. So let's just go to amplify under effect. And the word amplify is very misleading, but this is where you see the decibel term. To make it louder, you want to keep the amplification in the positive numbers. Make it smaller, you want to make it in the negative numbers. Hit OK. It'll take some time to process, and oh my goodness, it got very quiet. Other fun effects are change your speed, change the tempo, which not quite the same. Speed will change both how fast it's going plus the pitch. That's why you get that Alvin and the Chipmunks effect sometimes when you fast forward a tape. Whereas just changing tempo will just shorten the duration of your track without necessarily pitch shifting the sound. Noise removal is always nice, but it doesn't always remove all the noise you want. Crossfading is very handy if you have several tracks or different chunks of tracks and you want to make smooth transitions between the two. So it's literally taking, if you think of volume as a line that's going through all of these, it'd be taking the volume of one, taking the volume of other, and going like that. So you have a smooth transition. So as one's getting louder, the other one's getting equally quieter. So as you can see, there's many more options to play with. I'm going to say take about two to five more minutes to just play around. If you feel like it, you can go and rip another CD track and mash them up together. That is a valid technique, mashing up these days, apparently. Where you take two tracks that have nothing to do with each other and mix them into one song. Unfortunately, yes. So, to go over what you just have done. So you get a little bit of weird echoing because you have the same thing playing over each other. And you're not going to really hear that voice sound because it's so quiet compared to the original track. But, yep. It plays everything. It will play everything. Something else you might have noticed is here you can play with the output volumes. as well as your microphone volume. Sometimes you won't always be importing in via microphone. Depending on your setup, you may be able to import directly from like a CD player or an instrument or another hard drive or recording device. But usually microphones are the normal input device. So Audacity is very kind. Besides letting you save your project as an Audacity file, it also lets you export right from the get-go as a WAV or an MP3 file. And it also lets you choose whether you want to export the whole thing as an MP3 or WAV file, or if you just want to export a small chunk. Means you have to do less fiddling around. I will show you another program later that looks similar to this, but gives you a few more options to play with that. But whenever you are done, just hit Export as WAV. And you notice it says your tracks will be mixed down to 2 stereo channels. So, appearance of our term of the day, mix. And just hit Save, and it will save it as a WAV file for you to burn to CD. So I will come around with 2 blank CDs for you, but a blank CD for each person to burn their so-called masterpiece. Might as well burn it, just so you can see, like, this is what I've done. Conversely, you could also burn your Audacity Project CD onto a CD. Would you like a CD too?
It's a digital format for iTunes if you wanted to port it into iTunes if you made something.
Well, iTunes is just a player that plays different file formats.
It does. Okay.
So,
Yes,
it definitely plays MP3s. And it plays more than MP3s, but yeah. Yeah. Although Macs in general, and so possibly iTunes, might prefer AIFF. But in terms of usage, like the way you use them, a WAV file and an AIFF file generally might as well be the same. So, just to keep everything easily kept in our heads, if you go back to iTunes and you've popped in a blank CD, which I shall do in a minute, when you get into iTunes, if it detects that you have a blank CD in your computer, let's see, it should ask you, what would you like to do with it? You say, I'd like to burn it, please. I haven't done that here. Oh boy. Let me do that one more time. Okay, insert a blank CD. Alright. So for this case, you have to create a new playlist. You add your track that you have created. Let's find that track. Mm-hmm. click and drag it in there. In this older version of iTunes, your burn disk icon will appear in the upper right-hand corner. In the newer version of iTunes that you may or may not have, you'll find it in your lower right-hand corner. Conversely, in RealPlayer, the burn transfer interface will look a little something like that. Ultimately, basically it involves dragging and dropping in the tracks that you wish to burn and hitting the burn your CD button. So if there's anyone who needs some help with that, come take a look. All right, looks like everyone's still. So let's see, you'd have to pop in the CD first because it won't detect it otherwise.
I'm having trouble like pasting things in.
So you just click it in, click, go to edit, paste. Did you copy something first?
Yeah.
Let's see.
You can do just Control V too.
Well, did you hit the highlight something first? So go to, whoa. It's just, all right. Just copied it. Hit click. And, oh, man. Really just doesn't want to. Let's see. Wait, oh, I see. Make a, let's generate, let's go to project. Make a new audio track. Then go to, then hit paste now. Oh, still doesn't want it. Oh, there it is. All right, there you go.
Do you see the burn disk icon?
I don't have.
All right, so we have to make a new playlist.
There's mine.
Okay.
Well, it was on the other page.
Right. Is it this?
That one, yeah.
Did you export it as a?
As a wave.
MPF. Okay, there you go, right here.
Wow, how'd that happen? Okay.
It just happens. It's magic software. How's it going?
I'm having trouble. I imported this file. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's in the wrong format. It's in
M4A. Okay, so that was the format we were having a problem with.
Okay.
That's the Windows Media Player format.
That's not working. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. This works. I thought those were iTunes. So open an iTunes.
Alright. If you're in iTunes, you can determine how you want your files to be exported.
These are the things that I have in iTunes.
There we go. That one of those should work quite well.
Okay. It says no disk burner.
Oh wait, hold on. Let's see. Oh no, this should be a recorder.
It's really okay. I don't need the CD.
All right, now I think you should. Try that. Oh dear. Alright, well, worst comes to worst, if iTunes will not burn your CD, we can always fall back on the old good old CD burner. Although, save it as a data CD as opposed to a music CD.
Really?
Why? Yeah. Not sure, I wish I knew why. But that's just the way it happens to be with the default. In this particular case, it doesn't want to burn it.
Just because it knows.
Where did you save it to? Do you remember?
There it is.
Okay, I see. That's not really a valid WAV file.
Because it has a space
No, the size is very small.
Oh.
1 kilobyte is usually not the average.
What's this, right?
Well, not sure what happened earlier, but that definitely was probably not it. That's probably one of the difficulties encountered.
Well, that's good to know.
Better luck. All right. Alrighty, so let's see if that works any better.
Okay.
There we go. So you noticed earlier the time said not available. Now there's actual time.
Okay.
So let's see if this does the trick. Oh, no, it still doesn't do the trick. There we go. These files to CD. All right. Oh, okay. So CD writing wizard in this day and age will let you choose whether you want to make an audio CD or data CD.
Okay.
All right. And it works in conjunction with Windows Media Player. So in some cases, you might just need to have all three free players available. One doesn't work, the other one does. All right. Oh, Bosch. There are things.
Maybe it's done.
No, it wasn't. Didn't quite burn yet. Yes, please get rid of that. All right.
Wait, how can I move just half this that I copied? Do I have to, like, copy it again?
What do you mean?
Because I just copied this and put it here.
Okay.
And I copied that and put it right in front of it.
All
right. And now they move together.
Okay, what you can do is click where you want to cut them apart. So use the selector tool. Go to edit. Should be able to split. You may need to highlight the section that you want to cut in half. Go to edit and go to split. There we go. Move them around now. Okay. Well, all right. Sorry.
It's okay.
This is how you would burn a CD, though, for your personal consumption. And do you think if you went home, you'd be good to go, or?
Probably. I mean, I'm really more interested in knowing what I need to buy in order to have interviews on my website.
All right. Okay, let me get back up there and see if I can do some browsing for you.
Wait. I assume I buy a microphone. Do I buy a microphone for my iPod or what?
Let's see. My actual personal suggestion. Okay, so the question we have here is a tangent from the original syllabus today. Actually, I can't use this today, so let me just switch the screens around one more time. So the question is, what if you want to do some field recording, particularly digitally, because you want to import into your computer? I would actually recommend getting a separate digital recording device.
Is that expensive?
It, like many other technologies, it's variable. Let me just find the digital recorders. I mean, the cheapest thing to do is to get the, they have certain, flash MP3 players with built-in digital voice recorders that will store up to 2 gigabytes of space. So, and those can be as cheap as $50. So you get an MP3 player plus a, digital voice recorder all in one.
Wow. I know I can buy a microphone for my iPod.
Mm-hmm.
So that seems like that'd be the way to go.
Then that would be the cheapest for you.
And so then I can take the MP3 files and use Audacity and edit. What I want to do, I want to be able to interview people and then listen to the interview and decide which pieces of what they say I actually want to have on my website.
All right, so then what you would do is once you have the files from your interview,
uh-huh.
take them off your iPod just like any other data file. And then open them up in Audacity, take a listen through each file, cut and edit the parts that you don't want, or maybe you want to move them around. Perhaps you might want to put some of the interviews together. So again, you could do all of that through Audacity. So the first step is having some sort of input device. So in your case, a microphone for your iPod, and then moving next, importing them into the editing software, which is Audacity, and then finally exporting back out in a file format. And since it's for your website, you're probably going to want to, I would say, keep it to something like an MP3, something small. You can also save it as a QuickTime, but that would involve converting from either the WAV or the MP3 file into another form.
So if I want to save the whole file, I mean, I don't want to keep it on my iPod the whole time.
So you just
away. Can I just import into Audacity and save it the whole thing as a file and then do it?
I would suggest taking the file from your iPod and saving it to your hard drive on your computer. And then just delete.
Save it as an MP3 file?
It's going to be up to what format it's recording in is up to your iPod. So you may have to look at like your manual for your iPod to see.
Okay.
Right, yeah, I mean, or look online, but you're going to have to fiddle with your preferences, and there may just be one default setting for it.
Okay.
But really, it's up to your device. Oh, you're welcome. All right. Let's see. Looks like everyone's still clicking away happily. do you have another question?
I assume that the same theory goes for, I have albums at home that I'm tired of lugging albums around, so I want to convert them to digital.
Mm-hmm.
So basically playing them on the stereo through your receiver?
No. It's much simpler. It's just like what we did today, which was just rip the tracks off the CD using.
They're in
albums. Vinyl.
Vinyl.
Okay, when you have vinyl, it gets a little trickier. There are some special converting devices you can use that, you know, you can hook your turntable up to your computer via USB. If you don't mind doing it, you can always just get a piece of recording software for your computer, especially if your computer has like a built-in mic or something. And it won't be the highest quality, but that's the fastest way, is you just, while you play the album, you would record in what's being played. However, the problem is that, you know, if anyone's walking by or, you know, something comes falling down, that'll get recorded as well. What might be easiest in some ways is just to go to a recording facility and have them convert your vinyl into digital format.
You can't just output from the receiver to the computer.
You could by a wide variety of cables, but it would require different pieces of hardware and different interfaces. Usually it'd probably involve a mixing board, which
okay.
just might be farther than you want to go into. But yeah, vinyl or cassette tape to digital is probably the hardest conversion out of the different kinds of conversions you can do. CD to digital is obviously the easiest.
Just trying to get rid of all the albums.
Right. I mean, in this day and age, it might almost be even cheaper to just find the MP3s. Like an MP3 album online of those different albums and just buy them and download them. And then it's right there, right off the bat. Alright, so just to wrap things up, just wanted to show you a few more pieces of software that we haven't had a chance to actually work with today, but you might have some interest in playing around with them. One of them is a program called Acid. It was originally made by SoundForge, and now it's currently owned by Sony, or Sonic Foundry, I'm sorry. SoundForge is one of the programs that they made. But Acid Pro is what they call a piece of loop-based software. So you have a whole bunch of little loops or little audio files like this. And they just repeat over and over and over again. There's little samples of tracks. And these sort of programs are particularly fun because you can just make different layers of audio and make a little song out of it. And because the loops are usually so short, there's a lot of variations as to the different kinds of songs you can make. In fact, something that's really popular are remix contests where people release the different loops that went into a song that is known and then have other people rearrange them in a way that sounds fresh and new or sounds nostalgic. And this one is definitely available as a free download. Other ones that are available that I don't have for display are Apple's GarageBand, so it'll come with your Mac if you have one. Also, Fruity Loops, which is another oldie/goodie that's also sort of involved in the loop-based software craze. Another one that I have on here, we talked about sequencing and also just sort of doing generating of audio information. And one program that I kind of put into the quote-unquote pro category is Cubase. And this is a fairly old version. But as you can see, besides having your audio tracks, you have your MIDI tracks available, and the different options you have in terms of things like virtual instruments or a MIDI track mixer separate from your audio mixer, you know, having a virtual mixing board. This basically just recreates a studio a studio environment for you, but all in the ease and convenience of your computer. Usually these kind of programs are still used in conjunction, though, with the physical mixing board, speakers, racks, etc. Lots of hardware involved. But it makes it easier in that it kind of condenses everything for on-the-go work.
So you have to have all the hardware to use?
No, and that's the nice part, is that it will work with all the hardware, but you don't need it. Which is great. Now, we used Audacity today. I personally like to use CoolEdit Pro, which is now known as Adobe Audition. And if you think about it, it looks kind of similar to Audacity in the sense that you have your space for tracks, you know, you have your effects, you have generate, silence, edit, etc., just all the options you had in Audacity, but you have several other options on top of that. Let me just toss in a file there for you, just so you can get a sense of what's going on. And also just, you know, the user interface is different. Again, this is an outdated program, so...
And what did you say it's called now?
Adobe Audition. And you can download that as a free trial online. Something kind of interesting with this one is that as you play it, You get to see all the levels. You can infinite loop it, play to end and stop, etc. When you save it, you can, let's see. Just want to make sure I've got the right one here. Save session as cancel. Oh dear. Please bear with me. It's been a few months. No, I'm just teasing. Save as. All right. So whereas Audacity gave you about three options, in this particular program, you can see that there's at least a good 10 different audio file options. Again, I'm thinking that for your average user, a WAV or an MP3 file or AIFF will be plenty fine. But in case you really need your options, this program will supply them. And in terms of a player that we did not take a look at today, there's the player that, in my opinion, came out right around the time the MP3 craze really started hitting us, and that is known as Winamp, the Llama. And it's pretty much just like the other players that we saw, in that you have your playlist, you have your controls. In this case, you can add different plugins, change the appearance of your player. What's kind of fun is that as an equalizer, so if you're the kind of person who likes to adjust how your audio comes out, you know, you might have lots of fun with that. But that's just one of them. And finally, I mentioned interactive music. And one of the programs that seems to be in wide use these days is a program called Max MSP. And the easiest way to think of Max MSP is sort of like a graphical programming interface, in that usually what people are doing are basically creating these instructions on how to process audio, whether it's taken this input here, output there. When someone hits this, make this noise. Here's a piece of video. When the video hits this point, I want the audio to go this and that, do this and that, and go up and down and go crazy. And so basically you are essentially making a program, but without necessarily having to type in the lines of code. And so it gives you a very blank interface. And I actually don't have any projects to show you at the moment, but let's see. So basically it runs off, it makes things called patches. And you put in objects visually, and you connect them together via little inlets and outlets that hook up together. And it's available to try for free. And what's kind of fun about it is that you can get video involved, and you may see it used when you go out to a club or something. But yeah, so those are just some other programs that you might like to look at in terms of playing around with digital audio. And beyond that, if you go back to the course notes for this particular workshop, you can see the links and the lists, including things we've used today, as well as maybe just some there's a guide for from Adobe, maybe it's how to buy some speakers. So now that you know how to manipulate your audio, how to make present it at its finest. And if you've been trying to build your own computer lately, perhaps you might want to buy a new audio card just to get that full effect and get the full package. So if there aren't any other questions, I'll leave you to play some more with all this newfound knowledge.